Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back to your worst nightmare.
Oh.
Your internet is unstable.
Probably whip off your old camera, I'd say. What do you think? This is it. We're back. It's seamless.
Back at the cold face.
Yeah.
Man. It's the Keith Walsh podcast. It's essential like your breakfast. It will get you up and going, learn some things you didn't know. Yeah, it's the Keith Walsh podcast. It's the Keith Walsh podcast. Give you energy like Buckfast. And if your head's in a pickle or you're looking for a giggle, it's the Keith Walsh podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome back, big guy.
Is this better?
Yeah, much better. Yep.
Oh, wow. Perfect. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, how does this work again? What do I have to do here?
I know we're all very much out of practice. I think you're recording anyway, which is good. Good news for everybody who's been, I'm not going to say pestering me, but lots of people have been on to me saying, when are you going to do a new podcast? Because I want to listen to it.
I like
it. It's really nice.
I like that they're on to you.
That's because you're an unapproachable git who's just been going around treading the boards, tripping the light fantastic, and generally sort of navel gazing, doing a one man show, which is very, very good. You've been a busy fucking boy.
It's been a busy month. It's been a crazy month, Mike, and not just. Like, I mean, I have been busy with the play, but my wife has her own business as well, as you know, as does yours.
Mm-hmm.
We are business widowers, yes. business widowers. And she's been obviously the same. And I know you can empathize with this, but December is fucking mental. They got an order. I don't think we talked about this on the podcast. Of course we didn't. We haven't done this in about 6 weeks.
No.
But they got an order in at some stage that they had to pull together and get out by, I don't know, some day last week or the week before for 14,000 bundles.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
And you're fucking swanning off.
And I was like,
shows, like, living in hotels.
I didn't like, you're really good because you help Sally Ann. I didn't help one iota. I didn't lift one finger to help get that order out.
Well, that you see, you can't. I mean, you work full time anyway. I have the luxury of being able to sort of, you know, kind of do my hours around Sally Ann's business. And but I mean, you know, if you were to pick a time to go on tour and your wife's business is predominantly Christmassy, you know, I think I met you actually in Ennis. You weren't playing in Ennis, but you were on the way to somewhere.
On the way to Killarney, yeah.
On the way to Killarney. And you said, yeah, really, like Suzanne's really busy. And I have to stay in hotels.
And it's not even that, like, it's like, I'm going off to stay in a hotel in Ennis tonight, and also, like, can you I know you're very busy, but also you have to bring the boy to school,
yeah,
and all that kind of stuff as well, and look after the house and all that kind of stuff and mind the dog. So I was quite busy because I was trying to work as well on the road, do my day job, and but at least I was away. Do you know what I mean? I could focus on my work, where she kind of had to juggle several. So I'm taking this opportunity to say thanks to my wife for the support. And
yeah, well done, Suzanne. I presume they got everything done, and or are they still in the middle of it?
No, they're pretty much done. I think yesterday it's gas because she's like every day she's like, no, we're pretty much done now. And then at some point in the day, she goes, I just have to go off. And I'm like, where are you going? Oh, nowhere. Just off to do more work on something.
Yeah.
But that's the way it is when you have your own business, Mike. You just got to, it's just never stops.
Tell me about it. I mean, Sally Ann is the same, you know, sitting down and it's ding. Oh, there's another order. Ding. There's another order. And that's a big one. And then we close the shop online. We have this ability to put everything out of stock.
Yeah.
I was tasked with doing that. It's one of my jobs.
Oh,
I thought, great. No, I did it. And I said to Sally Ann, listen, come back in. And we have got, because of the number of bags we have and the amount of colorways and this, that, and the other, there's like 186 types of thing that people can order in the range.
Yeah.
And I went through each and every one of them, put them out of stock, refreshed every time, did my thing, really concentrated, did it. I said to Sally Ann, come back in. You look at all the pages now, and they're all red, 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 red. Everything was perfect. The next day, she's sitting there, ding. Yeah, five of them have come back in. And of course, the problem is at Chardonnay time, people have a couple of glasses of wine and they start ordering. And it's like, oh, shit. There's a hole in the barrel somewhere. And they just sort of brought themselves back into stock magically. Fucking things.
That's gas. I was wondering, like, if you didn't have the right setting, that you had to do it every day. Or, you know.
No. Jesus, that'd be a disaster.
Okay, no. Shite. Yeah. Well, you're a good man for supporting your wife in her business endeavors. And I'm proud. My wife, as soon as my wife starts making lots of money, which she will, undoubtedly, she'd probably just leave me for a younger man.
I wouldn't blame her. I can imagine the interview process for on the dating app, Grindr or whatever it is. Is it Grindr? No, that's the, anyway, one of those.
Bumble.
But is Flipper or Bumble is one as well, isn't it?
Bumble, yeah.
Yeah, I have a close friend of mine who's been on the old Bumble. And
He's on the old Bumble?
Yeah, worked out well, apparently.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. And it's nice because the ladies choose. It's not sort of like, you know, you're not flipping through like some sort of like perv going, oh, yeah, fancy that, weird. You know, you put your thing up and you sort of say, you put yourself out there as a man and ladies choose. So it's pretty much in the ladies. Yeah.
Well, that's good. I like Bumble then. That's where I'll go as soon as my wife leaves me.
Yeah, but I don't think you will. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I suppose you'd be looking for, no, but nobody would have you. That's the problem.
What? Surely someone would have me, Mike.
Imagine your bio. Useless real nails.
what would I actually have to say for myself?
Very good at one-man shows. Very, very good at one-man shows. If I may say so.
But I only do one once a lifetime.
Yeah, but that's fine. But you're gonna bring it on the road. This is gonna go international.
Oh yeah,
your one-man show is gonna go international. We've already got an invite to go to London to play it. So
that's right. Yeah, I was just wondering about like how that would work because it's an invite to. Are we allowed to mention the place?
Yeah, I don't know what its name is, though. It's in
where, but it's a hotel Heathrow. Out in Heathrow. Yeah. So how would that work with getting an audience in?
We just
advertise it to the London, to the... Hang on, I have to let the dog out.
Fucking hell. I think some things don't change.
Let the dog out. It was just marketed to the Geospora over in London.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Get the Irish sort of... what's it, the embassy involved, maybe?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, well, we've got offers from London. I had a friend of mine talking about bringing it to New York somewhere at some point.
Wow.
I try and go to Edinburgh, but I have to apply for funding for that. So that, you know, unless I decide to pay for it myself. But there's plans afoot, Mike. It was a difficult time to go on tour because of lockdown and COVID. No, we weren't in lockdown, just COVID. People were unsure about going to the theater, and at the same time, it's a great excuse because I can be like, because maybe only 30 people would have come anyway, but now I'm able to say, oh yeah, only 30 people came because of, you know, it's COVID and stuff, you know, they're afraid, you know. It's a perfect excuse.
Yeah, well, I must admit to the listener there that I actually went to see it twice.
Yeah, you were very good. Thank you very much, Mike. That was great.
No. I went to see it once with Jimmy, my son, who was literally blown away by the whole thing.
Amazing.
And the lovely Emma Langford did a little question and answer.
Yes, that was brilliant.
And I mean lovely, Emma Langford. I've fallen in love with her now. I listen to her music and stuff.
Oh.
And she's very funny on Twitter.
She is very funny. She's got a great sense of humor. I got some strings for my guitar, so I want to string up my guitar and start playing it again. And I believe there's some Emma Langford tunes on a website called, is it called Chord something? I can't remember. But anyway, I noticed someone saying, oh, the chords are for The Winding Way Down to Kells Bay.
Yes.
Have you listened to that song?
Yes. They're all lovely. Really haunting and nice and, you know,
that's
a very talented woman.
She's a very talented woman. But that song in particular is like, I don't know why that isn't. I don't know why she isn't a global superstar with that song alone.
You know, she's Grammy nominated. You know?
Yeah. I mean, she's getting there.
Yeah, but she also went to I was talking about it last night, actually. She went to a karaoke club next to Donkey Ford's in Limerick. If anybody doesn't know Limerick, you don't know Donkey Ford's. Donkey Ford's is a legendary fish and chip shop. And the old thing was, give me an extra sausage there, Donkey, will you? Is what you would say to Donkey. And Donkey would give you an extra sausage. Or try on a bit of an extra sauce there, Donkey, will you? And Donkey would go, fuck off. Yeah, but she thought she'd got COVID because she had a bad throat and headache and all this sort of stuff. And then realized she'd been out in the piss playing karaoke till whatever time in the morning. Yeah.
She was just hungover.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. As am I indeed today.
How is your hangover, Mike?
Nasty.
What was the occasion?
The occasion was one of my brothers works for a big company and they're not allowed to have a Christmas party. So the fella who organizes the Christmas party, the second year in a row, he usually organizes it between 350 and 400 people.
Mm.
And my brother said to him, listen, why don't you come down to my place in Kilkee and we'll just go out for a couple of beers and a bit of food. And that's what they did last year. And by all accounts, they had a fantastic night. So the anniversary of it was last night. So I was invited to be the third man.
Nice.
And this guy, John, he's on, I don't know if you've ever heard of this radio station. There's a radio station that I never heard of. It's called, Jesus, I've got the app now, 8 Radio.
8 Radio, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I know 8 Radio. It's the guys who, do you remember Phantom?
Yes.
So one of the guys involved in Phantom went on when Phantom sort of went legal and got its license and then ultimately went bust because whatever, it was badly managed. He set up 8 Radio and it's on the internet, but also every,
Friday, Saturday, Sunday or something.
Yeah, but that, they get a period, they get like for a period of 3 months, they're on FM on 105.2, the old Phantom frequency. And I think it's the same frequency that Christmas FM use. So I think around Halloween every year, at the end of the summer before Christmas, they get a period. They get a time. They're on air on the actual FM. But it's really great, great music. It's right up my strata, Mike.
Yeah, this guy does a Thursday afternoon program and a Monday evening program. One is about Irish music, all Irish, and the other is something else. I don't know. We started talking about it and then we started drinking.
Okay.
And the wheels fell off ever so slightly.
Okay. I wonder who that is. I wonder, is he a metalhead?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
That was an emphatic no there.
Yeah. He's very much into like Irish original music, new and upcoming and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. We'll have to look out for the John on 8 Radio and listen to
him. John on the, anybody knows, I think the Irish MJ, who is a fan of the podcast, knows him on Twitter, because I think the Irish MJ caught the COVID and gave him some tickets that he was going to use. Yeah, it was all a bit spooky, because this guy actually knew me. He follows me on Twitter and listens to the podcast. It was
like, no way. Well,
yeah, I was famous.
Hi, John.
Yeah.
That's cool. I must listen. I will make a point to listen to radio from now on. And it's funny because I have the Google speaker downstairs, and I mostly only exclusively listen to podcasts now. I rarely, if I have my own playlist that I put together. So I must have a thing. I must remember now the next time I'm down in the kitchen just to throw on out radio. I know my brother-in-law Dermot would do that. So I'll have to remember that just for John. And then we won an award, didn't we?
We won an award of best podcast from the Irish MJ. We were in phenomenal company.
Yeah.
There was all sorts of awards given out.
What an accolade.
I know. What an accolade. We have arrived. Well, it's actually your name. So you have arrived. Star of screen, stage, and radio, Mr. Keith Walsh.
The award-winning Keith Walsh podcast. We are now the award-winning podcast, which is brilliant. So thanks very much to the Irish MJ.
Yeah.
Going back to what we were talking about, the play, and you were you went to it twice, and you brought your son Jimmy, which was great. And I just wanted to let you know that I will be expecting a follow-up from Jimmy for follow-up on the invitation to go down to the school to talk. Even though his teacher didn't come to the play, but still.
No. There's a lot of anxiety around people gathering in places.
And a
theatre is not a great place to go, you know, in these times.
It's very understandable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like my own family didn't go to the play, not because they hate me. It's because of COVID.
It's because they were all wrapping boxes.
They were all helping Suzanne.
It's your shit.
Oh, did I tell you? I have to tell you this. And for anybody who's listening and hasn't seen the play, because we'll stop talking about it now. A fella called Alex, who runs a skate shop. Well, used to run a skate shop in a skate park in Wexford called Reckless. Shout out to Reckless.
Yes.
Closed down now because of COVID. He turned up on the last night in Kilkenny and presented me with my very own skateboard.
Brilliant. Do not fall off it and break your neck.
No. I'm going to buy a proper skateboard helmet and some elbow and knee pads and actually learn how to skate at the ripe old age of 40-something.
Yeah, well, it's very trendy. It's an up-and-coming thing.
The skateboard is up and coming.
Very much. It is. It's going through a renaissance.
Well, I suppose.
It is. And it's becoming, and it's an older people's thing.
Yeah, all right, man. No, I shouldn't laugh. I'm taken aback. I'm like, okay, fair enough. Fair point. So I won't look stupid as an older gentleman learning how to skate.
No, you won't look like a paedophile in your local skate
park. Hey there, fellow kids.
Yeah, all these six-year-olds. Hey, guys. It's Keithy. He even gives himself a funny name.
Cool Keith, I think they call him.
Father Keith.
That's cool with a K. Brother Keith.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm running some skate camps. Kids can stay.
Brother Keith.
I've got a minibus. I'll drive the minibus. I can stay in a hostel. We'll all stay together. It'll be fun.
Yeah, one big sleeping bag with
Brother Keith. Yeah.
Let's teach a few tricks.
Well, speaking of tricks, I very much enjoyed Johnny Vaughan's chat with your favorite broadcaster, James O'Brien.
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. The man is a power. He can't stop talking.
No. Full disclosure, so now the podcast, Mike recommended to me. Mike, that was the perfect recommendation. When you told me about that podcast, I had just started touring. And like some of those drives were like 3.5-4 hours long on my own, sitting in the car. And that was like manna from heaven.
Yeah.
Because you sent it to me. It was the Jimmy Carr interview you sent on into our little production group with Burgle Firk. And it was great because it got me through so many trips, those interviews. So thank you, first of all. Second of all, the chat with Johnny Vaughan was brilliant.
Stellar. Absolutely stellar. I mean, as I say, the Seven Dwarfs, probably one of the funniest things. I was crying. And it was funny because my brother texted me as I was listening to it, saying, you've got to listen to and I literally, because he said it's about the Seven Dwarfs, and I was literally listening to him talking about Seven Dwarfs, of which there was only five. Listen to the podcast if you can, It's absolutely fantastic. There's a lot of good stuff on there, and a lot of people who you think are going to be quite boring are very, very, very good.
Yeah,
there's some very much Desert Island Discs without the music.
Right? Yeah, because it was Johnny Vaughan was interesting because he was very much like, right from the get-go, he was like, sure, I wouldn't have, I'm not going to have anything interesting to say about myself. What do you want to hear from me? And then even there was moments where he said, he's kind of saying things like, I don't like people talking about themselves and personal tragedies, and then say, and I've got a record coming out, which I thought was a quite funny take and true, but you know, and he had nothing coming out. He was just giving an interview. And then there was a moment where he said, I don't really want to talk about prison. He talked a lot about prison. And then he was like, oh, I don't really get into my childhood. But then he talked an awful lot about his childhood.
Yeah, but it was his first interview he'd ever done.
Which was bonkers.
Yeah.
And like, I love Johnny Vaughan. Ever since The Big Breakfast, I've been like, when I saw that Johnny Vaughan, when I heard that he mentioned it in an interview with somebody else, that he had spoken to Johnny Vaughan, that would be coming out next week or something, which it didn't come out the next week. It didn't come out the week after. It was the third week then it came out. And like, it was like literally every, I don't know when his podcast came out, Thursday or Friday. I was like checking the app going, where's the Johnny?
When is it?
Yeah.
It was brilliant. It's so unusual to find somebody who you really like and then do an in-depth interview and you actually come away liking them more.
Yeah.
Because more often than not, it's the ones you like are kind of like, it's kind of a bit boring, really. They're dull as ditch water. They're good on TV or radio, but they're not really good as a person to talk to. But yeah, Johnny Vaughan was out of this world. And we only got to his like mid-20s.
Yeah. There better be a part two.
Yeah.
He didn't even talk about The Big Breakfast. Any of that period.
No, nothing about television or anything.
No. So check it out. What's it all about? There's your first check it out. So thanks, Mike, for that, because full disclosure recommendation of a podcast thing got me through the tour mostly.
Yeah. You also recommended Soda Jerker to me. Now, I liked the Soda Jerker thing. I liked the whole theory of the Soda Jerker thing. I liked the bit when the people are talking about the music that they make and how they've done it and how they've come up with the lyrics and whatever. But I couldn't be doing with the two lads.
Oh, man.
They're just so kind of polished. And it's kind of, hi there, yeah. How's it going? Oh, yeah, I'm great, thanks. How are you? Ah, sound mate, how are you? And this week we're going to talk to Andy Bell. Ah, it's going to be great. Ah, yeah, sound.
That's because you hate people from Liverpool.
But that's why, because they were like, so polished.
I really liked the two lads. And it's Soda Jerker. It's a songwriting podcast where they talk to famous people about songs they've written and how they wrote them. And they've got, like, they're serious. As you said, Erasure were brilliant.
Yes.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that. They've had some seriously famous people on there. And they follow me on Twitter now because I said something nice about their podcast. So sickened.
But oh yeah, so that's because you see you like them, you like all the scales of crack. I just can't be doing with it. They don't follow me.
there's a thing going on in Ireland at the moment. I don't know if you're aware, and hopefully I'll be able to explain myself here. But do you know the guy, the actor, who was in Normal People? Did you?
Yes, Mescal, Paul Mescal.
Paul Mescal, right? So Paul Mescal is home for Christmas with to see the mammy,
right?
And he's brought his girlfriend.
Oh,
and his girlfriend is famous.
Oh,
let me just. And you see, there's two Phoebes, right? There's a Phoebe Waller-Bridge and there's a Phoebe Bridgers.
He's not going out with Phoebe Waller-Bridge, is he?
No, he's going out with Phoebe Bridgers.
Okay, I don't know who Phoebe Bridgers is. She might be famous in your world, but I don't know who she is.
Phoebe Bridgers is a young singer-songwriter. She's very good, actually. Let me just see what song I would recommend from. Oh, well, Motion Sickness obviously would be the song that I would recommend. I'll just give you a little listen from my phone just because I don't have the technology to do it any other way. Okay. Oh, that is not Phoebe Bridgers. Okay, this is Phoebe Bridgers. No, that's
This is like me on the radio, pressing the wrong button. That's Phoebe Bridgers. She's in Dublin at the moment. She's brilliant. Motion Sickness is a song you should check it out. So she's in Maynooth, probably County Kildare. I don't know what the plans are for Christmas, but everybody's talking about them on Twitter. You know, if you're a certain age, you're just like,
yeah.
Oh, somebody spotted them in Dublin, or somebody, you know, people are making jokes about her, you know, having the turkey on Christmas Day and a glass of Schlur, you know, that kind of. All the crack we're having with that, and it's lovely. So Phoebe Bridgers sort of, I suppose, came to light when she was working with, and I think they were boyfriend and girlfriend, a guy called Ryan Adams, not Brian Adams, Ryan Adams.
Yeah, Ryan Adams.
You know Ryan Adams?
Yes, I do.
He had a few big hits with the likes of New York. Anyway. And I think he did a cover. He covered some Oasis songs as well. He was big into them. Ryan Adams was helping her with her music. And she and him and she came out and spoke about how he'd been treating her, which was badly.
Oh.
And it,
oh, yes, yes, yes.
It was a sort of a Me Too kind of story that came out where she said she wrote a song. I think that song Motion Sickness might be about him and their relationship. And
okay, yeah. No, I remember that story, but I didn't put two and two together.
So that's who that is. So he's basically been cancelled.
Is that correct? You know, has it gone to court? Do we know it's actually happened? You know, well,
like, first of all, I would totally believe her. No reason not to.
No.
And, you know, I think that, you can't just treat people like shit and whatever and get away with it. And there should be some way we need to figure out a way of somebody doing, I don't know, saying they're sorry or doing their penance or whatever. I'm not sticking up for anybody. I'm just saying, like, I'm not sure canceling is the right thing to do because this is because he recently followed me on Twitter.
Who, Ryan Adams?
Yeah, just out of the blue.
Oh.
And so it's really awkward for me because I can't make any Phoebe Bridgers jokes. I can't get involved in the crack because he follows me and, you know.
Why the fuck is he following you?
I have no idea.
I don't mean that.
No idea. But the interesting thing is, like, I would have loved, I mean, I still do. I love his music and I listen to him a lot. And I suppose when that happened, I went, oh, okay, all right, that's a bit weird. He's a bit of a weirdo, better not. And then when he followed me, I was like, oh, no, he's cool.
Yeah, like exactly. All is forgiven.
But he can't. But it's very interesting. And I'm not taking sides. Or I'm not saying, and I definitely believe her. And, you know, I feel sorry that she had to go through that. And it's very bad. And I do empathize and sympathize with it. But I think he seems to have had his own struggles. So he basically knocked the booze on the head because he now has said that he was drinking too much and he wasn't behaving himself appropriately. And, you know, he's very contrite and sorry and all that kind of stuff. But he has an album out now but he can't do anything with it because he can't, no record label will work with him. Nobody wants to interview him. He can't promote it. And, you know, I think that that's probably, maybe that's, is it that my question is that right? Is it fair? Is there a way, could there be a way of behaving badly, treating somebody badly? Cause I'm sure we've all done it. I hope we haven't done it. Maybe I don't know what the exact ins and outs of his story, but none of us are angels. And maybe if there was a way, if there was like an art, I don't like a place where you could go, and it would be much better for him to go to prison or something and spend 6 months and then come out and then be allowed to do his work again. Do you know what I mean? Is that weird?
No, I mean, prison's there for criminal activity. We don't know what he's done. We don't know the specifics of it. But, you know, he's obviously come out and said, yeah, I did treat her like shit. And I was drinking an awful lot. So I've knocked that on the head. And I just want to, you know, that was a bump in the road. Let's get over it. Canceling people is really awful. Some people get over being canceled. Other people don't. And you'd hate to see the demise of somebody who's trying to sort of, you know, put themselves in prison, if you like, by you know, trying to knock the booze on the head, trying to be a nicer person and whatever. And you know, I don't know. Break. Yeah, give the man up. I mean, it's ridiculous that no record label will go anywhere near him. And it ties into another podcast that was recommended to me this very day by one of our OGs, Eddie the Fink, over there in London. Right, and Eddie. It's one called Three Little Words. I don't know if you've heard about it or...
No, explain it to me.
It's John Bishop. You know, John Bishop, he's a Scouser.
Oh, you don't like him, do
no,
you?
No, he's from Manchester, so he's all right. But he has got unusually big teeth that are very white. That said, it's him and a guy called Tony Pitts, who I think is from Emmerdale or Coronation Street.
All right.
And they get people on, and I think the people have to say... Now, I've not listened to this, but my buddy's listened to it, and I would take his word. So there's three words they've got to use to describe themselves, and they get into a bit of a conversation. But they had Richard Bacon on.
Oh, yes.
And my buddy Ed was very, very interested in the Richard Bacon story. Yes. Because my only memory of Richard Bacon was being cancelled when he was on Blue Peter or a children's program.
Yep.
And he was caught doing a load of coke. So he was completely, you know, wiped off the face.
Yeah, you can't work in children's television and be caught doing drugs. And, I think he might have been caught in a BDSM situation with somebody, you know, with some leather and straps and whips in a place as well.
Possibly. Yeah, that's okay. Again, I mean, that's okay if you're going down the skate park.
That's all right. But you can't do children's television as well at the same time.
Yes. he's turned his life around massively. And apparently that podcast specifically is well worth a listen. He's now massive in America.
Well, brilliant. I will definitely listen to that. I did hear him talking to Richard Herring on his podcast.
Okay.
Which was interesting. And it's an old one. You'd have to go back. But that's a very interesting thing. And he did get cancelled for a while. The other person that I listened to talking about being cancelled was on the Full Disclosure podcast. And it was your man from Ian Hislop.
Oh, yeah.
Have I Got News For You, talking about his former, the presenter of Have I Got News For You.
Yeah, Angus Deaton.
Angus Deaton. Now, he got properly cancelled. He's gone now.
Yeah.
And I think he was caught twice. Like, he got almost got a second chance, and then he did it again. And something similar was going on with him. It was like, and I think the first episode of I Got News For You, when they came back after he was caught and it was all tabloid fodder, you know, front page, he was caught with a hooker and cocaine and all that kind of stuff. Ian Hislop had a right go at him. Like, he was like, you know, he slagged the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And that's fair enough. That's what they do. And he was like, look, we have to have the high moral ground, you know, that's the point of Have I Got News For You. But it made me think of another almost cancelling situation that didn't happen. And I can't remember who the person is, but I remember at the time the bosses really got behind them. Like, so the production company, the bosses, everybody kind of said, look, we're going to stand by this person. They're not a bad person. They made a mistake. We're going to stick with them, blah, blah. And I can't remember who the person is, of course, obviously, but they survived and their career survived. So it kind of depends on, sometimes I think, if you're liked by the people you're working with.
Yes.
And if you've got, like, if you're genuinely a sound bloke or a sound person and you're coming in and you're working hard and, you know, and you just genuinely make a slip up, and then everybody will rally around and support you. But if you're a bit of a dick,
But it does seem to be this tidal wave of whether people actually will get behind you before you're cancelled, or they'll support you or not. And it probably is to do with likability, but your man from Good Morning Britain or whatever it is, Good Morning, the ITV This Morning, who was found to be a homosexual.
Oh, the kid came out as gay. Yes, yeah.
Philip
Schofield. Yeah,
Philip Schofield. I mean, he came out with. Remember, he had black hair, he had dark hair, and he was dyeing it. Yeah. And he nearly got cancelled for not dyeing his hair.
Yeah.
And then he had a family, and then he came out as being gay and whatever. And I'm really surprised that he didn't get cancelled, because people have been cancelled for a lot of less things, you know, specifically what he would have put his wife through. There was an awful lot of, you know, hysteria surrounding that, you know, this double life, secret life and whatever. And the sort of the press who are really judgmental would get behind that and sort of say, you know, he's a love fraud, blah, 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 blah. But he didn't. They never cancelled his adverts. He's still doing car adverts. He's still doing this, that, and the other. And good on him. You know, I've nothing against him. I don't have no judgment against him.
No, we're not judging anybody here. We're just having the discussion about it's interesting who gets cancelled and who doesn't. And
yeah, and why?
I think with Philip was probably, you see, with Philip, he would have had time to really think and really manage this coming out as gay. It would have been very well managed. He would have spoken to the right people. The show he works on does very well. The ratings are good. So nobody wants that to kind of like, cancel him. You only cancel people if the show's not doing well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of criteria, you know?
Yeah. But that shouldn't be part of it, whether they're good or bad or whatever.
No, totally. It should just be, you know, what's the criteria for cancelling, and are you guilty of it or aren't you? It shouldn't be like, the ratings are well, so you're not getting, the ratings are good, so you're not getting cancelled. And, you know,
it's the closest to a public beheading, though, isn't it, that we get these days? And we seem to like it. We seem to like doing these things to people.
It is very interesting, because the people who you would have thought were the kind of the hippies and the cool left wingers and the tree huggers are now becoming the book burners.
Mm.
So, you know, they've gone far right, you know, very quickly. And you can't question it, because it's like, well, that person did a bad thing and that's it, they're cancelled.
No, well, there is a thing about politics, isn't it? The further left you go, you pretty much, if you look at it in a circle, if you imagine right wing and left wing politics, 12 o'clock is sort of like in the middle, liberal.
Yeah.
And 1, 2, 3 is kind of going to the right. And you get to 6 o'clock and then 11, 10, 9 is going to the left. When you get down to 6 o'clock, they meet again. And, you know, far left and far right aren't far off.
Yeah.
You know, and these, as you say, honey buggers and all this sort of stuff, bunny huggers, honey buggers.
Tree huggers?
That's for the skate park. That
the bunny huggers.
Honey, I like buggers. It. Honey buggers. Yeah. They're not far off right wing psychos.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But someone had compared the cancelling to the book burning, and I was like, oh yeah. You know, it's like the village coming together to burn the witch.
Witch hunt.
And obviously it is referred to as a witch hunt. But anyway, that was something that I thought, that was just a different angle on the whole, you know, Phoebe Bridgers is in town. Here's something that you might not know about, you know, what she's been through. And
you should start tweeting about it. If he's following you, I mean, I know I would do. Why shouldn't you? You know?
Ah, God! I mean, I wouldn't necessarily be tweeting about it anyway. But it was just funny. I was just like, it's funny that he just followed me recently, and now, in a weird way, I'm like, this is like, not that I'm in any way, I've got my own sort of angle of this whole story of what's going on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My own pretty personal much so. Tale, which is kind of gas, but I. You know, I believe he treated her really badly, and really, you know, her confidence was rock bottom as regards to songwriting and being a performer. And I don't agree with that at all. So, you know, I'd have to be very careful in what I say and what I joke about around that, you know. Yeah, so, you know, it's just, you got to be careful, Mike, you know, you got to be careful.
Kind of, yeah. But you can't sort of, you know, put a zip on your lip just for...
No, 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 no. Of course not. Well, but I just don't want them to not follow me anymore.
No, exactly. Yeah, you've got somebody famous following you for all the wrong reasons. You're not saying anything. You're self-censoring, not to hurt some, you know, some geezer guy who's been cancelled.
I know. I don't hurt his feelings, Mike. No. And I did. It's funny because when he followed me, I was like, oh God, I sent the thing to a friend of mine. I was like, God, why didn't he follow me when I loved his music 10 years ago? God, yeah. This is stupid now. I can't even do anything about it. And I couldn't even tell anybody or brag about the fact that he'd followed me. It's like being followed by Michael Barrymore.
He got cancelled.
He certainly did.
Yeah.
But possibly for all the right reasons.
Possibly, but he's not in prison or anything.
He didn't do anything. No. Well, we don't know. He didn't. Yeah, he wasn't accused of any sort of crime.
This is my point. I mean, unless people are...
Do you think Michael Barrymore should be back on the telly?
No.
This is our headline for tomorrow for the newspapers. Guy on podcast thinks Michael Barrymore should be back on the telly.
Well, you see, without proof and without, you know, concrete, you can't... I don't know. I think it's wrong to just cancel people. I don't know what happens, you know, that if they're not brought to court and sort of prosecuted for being what somebody's alleged, because you're taking part in what's effectively in a lot of cases just a sort of an argument between spouses. And he said, she said, and I don't know who said what.
Yeah.
You don't know who's on the other side, you know.
But the only thing with Michael Barrymore was there was a dead body found in his pool. And like, whatever. Whatever his I'm not laughing at that, but I'm saying, like, whatever his involvement in that is, like, okay, as an employer, which ultimately, like, you know, you would be if you own a TV station or whatever, as an employer, you're probably gonna give a guy who was involved in a situation like that, whatever his involvement, a wide berth, ultimately. Yeah, which is unfortunate.
It is unfortunate and I would say wrong to base it solely on that, because if that was true, if all of our past,
oh well, we had the dead bodies that have been found in my pool, Jesus,
yeah exactly. Down the skate park.
Jesus Christ. Mike, what have you been up to since we spoke last? I was thinking every time I did something or something happened, I was like, oh, I'll be able to talk about that in the podcast. We'll talk about that. Now I can't remember anything.
I was as well, and I think this is like my therapy. I honestly do, because I tell you things that I don't tell my wife, and then she finds out about them by listening.
Yeah,
you know, it's really odd. I mean, I was as we know, I've been diagnosed with very high blood pressure.
Yes, Mike, the blood pressure.
Yeah, my blood pressure went through the roof. Anyway, and it's funny, we haven't been on for 6 weeks, and a doctor once told me. To do with another situation, that listen, 2 weeks, if you're worried about something now, in 2 weeks' time you won't be worrying about that, so there's no point worrying about it,
right?
And then what happens in 2 weeks after that, you know, life is 2 week cycles, and you're just gonna, you know, it's just gonna pass you by. Don't worry about stuff. There's, and he's literally, his point was, no point worrying. Why would you be doing that? Because it's just a waste of time.
Yeah.
And it's the bus that's going to hit you that you're not worrying about, that's going to do the damage.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I've had 4 weeks today of blood pressure tablets. So in the time we've been off air, I think I was diagnosed before we went off air, and then I did the old test, and then I got the diagnosis that it was very, very high. And then I got the medication, and it was taking the medication. I'd been through all that, and I've been worrying about various things all the way through. Of course, needless. It's pointless for me to be worried about stuff, because it's all sorted itself out. I've been back to the doctor. My levels are absolutely fantastic.
No way.
120 over 80 and whatever. But in the meantime, I've panicked.
Yeah.
Panicked massively to do with my diet. And I stopped alcohol, sugar, added salt, so no crisps, no chocolate, no sweet stuff, no white bread, no, literally, you know, lunch, breakfast, dinner sort of were sort of like, no, I didn't overeat
Well, I remember you telling me at one point you for breakfast you had a slice of brown bread toasted and what did you call it? Like a dry fried egg? Like no
a dry fried egg, yeah, because it had to bring some taste into it. So I've got
a dry fried egg, babe.
I know.
sounds like a dry ride or something.
Yeah, sex in the '70s with your jumps on.
What did you get up to with your one last night? Ah, oh, just an old dry fried egg. Nothing else.
Ketchup. Yeah, so I get a scaldingly hot pan and crack an egg into it, and it just fries without any oil or anything.
Yeah.
And flip it onto a piece of toast. And I've had to change the toast as well because I don't want any added salt.
Of course.
And I might have a little bit of pepper on it and stuff, and then my tablet, and that's it. And then I'll eat really healthily at lunch. And then we'll all have a big sort of normal dinner, but I won't have any added salt. I won't have, you know, I'll go easy on the cheese, you know, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, and I was hungry for 3 weeks.
No big bar of chocolate after lunch, after dinner either.
No. I've gone to mandarins, dates, sultanas. I mean, for the first week, I overdid the dried fruit.
Okay.
Which has a humongous laxative effect.
You're good. We're just clearing everything out. It's good. It's a good thing. A spring clean, Mike.
Yeah, literally. It was like an enema. And then that's fine. And then I stopped being as hungry and as cravy of sweet stuff. It's really, really odd. And last night I was invited out for dinner and I really, really fell off the wagon. Even though, like, we got back to the house and there were salty snacks around the place, salted nuts and salted roasted nuts and raisins and chocolate and fuck, oh, man alive. And that is why I was not great today. I just feel horrible.
Did you go at the stuff when you came home as well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus, right. Yeah. Big time. Having Lovely. Eaten a big creamy pasta dish.
Yeah.
You know, it was just with pints up on top of it. It was just.
Yeah. Good man.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No. I've had 5 shits today.
Not all at the same time. 5 separate trips to the jacks.
Yeah. Literally destroyed. I know, but I shouldn't say that.
But that's all right. But so what you're saying is at the end of the 4 weeks or whatever, you've your blood pressure is fine, you're perfect, all good, nothing to be worried about.
Yeah. And really cutting out on the food and stuff like that, you know, it's good for you in one way. You lose a couple of pounds and everything, but the tablet just does it.
So is your blood pressure not fine because you did all those things? You cut out all the shit?
No,
tablet.
The rate it was at, she said, listen, if you literally go vegan and start running and do this, that and the other and literally purify yourself, you might knock 10 points off the above the line and the under the line, you know, the whatever it is over whatever it is.
She was saying you're basically going to have a stroke and die any minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not going to do you any good. You need to take a tablet.
Are you not going to have a stroke and die now? Is that just where we're at?
I hope so. I presume the damage is some way done, you know. I presume I've got plugged up artery. It really has pulled me into the focus of, you know, walking a ticking time bomb, you know, and your body. And you kind of think, what do I put into my body? And what do I do? The amount of years I've been just eating shit and whatever.
But Mike, the thing I would say to you is, it's the fucking shitty meat. Like, that's the thing that gets people, you know?
It is.
It's the sausages, the frankfurters, the fucking burgers, the whatever the fuck, you know? It's, I don't want to be like.
No, but you see, an awful lot of vegetarian food, an awful lot of stuff is processed as well.
It's processed ultimately, but it's the fucking shit. Yeah. But ultimately, the shitty meats that you would talk up your arteries, you know? Yeah. I mean, the processed stuff because of the salt and the sugar and the. But Mike, I'm glad to hear that you're on the up and up, and you're on the mend, and you haven't just had a stroke there now, you know?
No.
You just made a weird noise. I'm on high alert.
Get the paddles out. Recharge 300.
You smell toast.
Speaking of getting the paddles out, I'm still watching fucking Grey's Anatomy.
Oh my God! Wow. Oh,
sweet fucking Jesus. You won is really annoying at the beginning and the end.
So she's just really annoying.
Yeah, she's no. She does these little sort of
the
kind of
like Sex in the City sort of like.
Oh yeah, like as doctors, we're taught to do this. It's like, oh fuck off, and you know that's going to set the scene, and then Yuan Yang is having a bad relationship,
with herself.
With some other fella who I really don't like. So I'm like, I don't give a shit whether they break up. I'd rather just, you know, fast forward through that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really fucking annoying me.
So you're watching it, you're dedicated to it, but it's, you don't really like it.
No. And we're on series. There's 25 episodes.
Oh, nobody needs fucking... That show should be cancelled.
Fucking right, it should. Yeah, definitely her. And she's the one that I don't like. Grey's Anatomy, and it's all about her.
It's her. She's the one. Oh my God. Yeah, what hope you have.
And there's a guy called Dr. Hunt, and he's really fucking annoying as well.
Dr. K. Hunt.
Mike.
Mike, listen. My wife is banging on the door because I promised that I'd go to Aldi with her. And
oh shit. You need to get your ass together.
I need to get my arse together. But that was kind of a shortish one. So my apologies.
That's okay.
But
we're just getting back in the saddle.
It's a little dry egg for everybody. Dry fried egg for everybody. It's a little bit of dry humping for the listeners. And we'll have full intercourse next week.
Yeah. With a skateboard.
Oh my God. What would you do with a skateboard? Where do you insert that? Wow.
Oh, right up my ass.
Mike, it's great to talk to you.
And you, yeah.
We'll have the Christmas off mostly. So I'll have the Christmas off. So we'll do a few.
We'll do one or two. Yeah, definitely over. Yeah, yes,
we'll do a few over the Christmas, we'll talk again, Mike. This has been the Keith Walsh podcast, the award winning Keith Walsh podcast.
Yeah,
my friend Mike over in Clare. I hope you enjoyed it. That's all I have to say, Mike. Do you want to sign off?
Thanks to Acast.
All right, see you, Mike. Bye
bye, bye bye. Bye bye,
bye bye. Bye, 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 bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.